It's the Thursday night webcast. Thanks for joining us for Ram Radio, the webcast, the biblical alternative. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, always being ready to make a defense. If you make a defense, you got to talk. And once you make a defense, somebody's going to talk back at you and come against your defense. And then you come back and tell them why. Well, you know, the Bible says, everybody that asks us should be given an account of the hope that is in us, yet with gentleness and reverence. Welcome to Ram Radio, the webcast, because we live in a world of professing Christians, but we don't know how to argue for anything. The true believer must always classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness in your position in Christ. How can you do that unless you argue effectively? This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God. This is what Ram Radio is all about. Thank you for joining Bob Klink, Mark Ramsey, and myself as we look at what lies in store for us in these dark days ahead. The last time we were here, Mark Ramsey and I handled 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Well, today we're going to start on verse 2, and we're going to capsulize this discussion with, well, this discussion about the false teachers from Peter's perspective with, why don't we have debates in this country? Why don't we argue with each other? And why is it important for the Christian to argue? So, thank you for joining us today. Good to have Bob Klink and Mark Ramsey with me.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a pleasure to be here.
Indeed, it's a great pleasure to have you guys here. Bob, he was cutting on bodies last week, and so it's good to have him back with us. And, of course, it's always good to have Mark Ramsey. So much going on in the news. I just want to share with the people that come to the website that I put up another clip by a guy that was acting as one of the founding fathers of the nation, and he's asking a couple of very important questions. I want to thank Casey Blair for sending me that clip. Again, they call it the message of the day. And what has happened to Americans? Why are we all cowards? Why is it that we allow someone, you know what, it happened again. AIG officials, when they got the bailout money, gave themselves some kickbacks and millions of dollars in raises. AIG's CEO comes on the news and says, yes, it happened. We shouldn't have done it. I'm going to ask them to give some of that money back. Some of the people gave it all back. Some of the people aren't giving anything back. He can't make them give it back because it was all in the plan. Your president, Barack, said that if anybody takes the blame for it, blame him. But he said it with this chagrin of a smile, a smirk on his face. And the smirk that he had on his face when he said it, Bob, I'm the president now, so blame me. I'm not going to respond like stupid Bush. I'll tell you that it was my fault. But he can't do anything about it because the crime has been done. Hmm. See, the man needs to be impeached because what he and the entire Congress did was okayed it again. And what did we, the American people, do? We did it without even a whimper. Without even a whimper. I've wondered what happened to the men in this country. Now, if you want to know how obsessed I am with trying to get a response, listen to that clip by, I think that's William Payne, the fictitious name that he uses, but it's very nicely orchestrated as he gives arguments about what we American citizens ought to do. But guys, let's start off with the question itself. As a matter of fact, what I'd like to do, I think I got the loudest speaker, but no, I don't. I'm not going to play it. You guys watch it on your own. Bob, that's the one that you didn't see.
Right. I'll check it out tonight.
Yeah, check it out tonight. As a matter of fact, Bob, let me share this with you. So, anyhow, let's talk about this. Some of the things that I put up on my website are going to raise a controversial note to it. Some people are going to be touched by it. Some people are going to be offended by it. I want to start off with a question to Bob and Mark, and maybe for those of you that are listening in, because a lot of you are listening in now to me, even the dissenters that disagree with what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. I believe that the day and age of dissent is over in this country. The day and age of having a debate with anyone about anything that differs from your opinion is over. No one wants to hear the evidence. It's just like Yuri said on the little clip that I have up there, that once this age of dissent is over, then our freedoms are over. Why don't people want to debate their ideas? Bob, you were telling me earlier that the political debates were staged, and they were. Each one of them, when the candidates was going to question each other, they knew what the questions were. They also knew what the answers were, and the American public wasn't actually watching a debate. So what were they watching while these things were going on? What would you call it?
Good theater. It was basically that these people had their platforms predetermined. They had their speeches pre-written, and so they knew that they would be asked a question about the economy, and then they would start as if to answer the question and suddenly transition off into their predetermined soundbite. And the issue about the debate is it's not a debate. We have this now, this moderator, and the moderator is the one who's orchestrating the whole thing. He's the one who's able to ask the questions, and everything comes through him. Where it used to be that somebody would give their
a fresh
point,
question from
they would give their point
the floor. Yes,
a fresh question, and they would give their point and make their statement.
Yes,
the other candidate was then able to attack that man's point.
Yes,
and attack his thinking process.
Yes,
and challenge him. And then he was given one more opportunity then as a counterpoint. The original person who made the point was able to then respond to the attack.
And so the whole
then
all right.
The next time around,
okay.
Now the other candidate goes first. And so he makes a point. The second one has the opportunity to attack his point, and then the first one comes back and defends and counteracts the counteraction.
And
so
the conclusion of that was so that the American people would be able to hear the wisest statement from the better of the two candidates and make an intellectual decision based upon facts.
Yes. And that was the thing. The debate was won by who had facts to back up his position. Who defended his position with logic?
Yes.
And so if you were able to make a logical argument backed up by facts,
come on now.
And the facts were on your side and not on the other man's side, you win.
And the American public are supposed to be people that were schooled in logic and facts, and so that they could determine which one of the two were lying to them.
Correct.
Now,
both of them are lying to them.
Right.
And the other issue...
Come on.
...is, see, every time that they... Because they're now safe. The debates are now safe. Because in the older days, a bad night was disastrous. It ended a campaign.
Yes.
It ended... The whole thing was over with...
Yes.
...long before the election, because the person... One of the candidates got into a position that was unrecoverable.
Yes.
And so now, because we are number one, no longer does America have the ability to actually choose the best candidates or even see the best candidates.
Right.
So one thing that has happened is I remember several years ago, when Alan Keyes went to a debate and showed up, I believe it was in Georgia, and they'd locked the doors on him and would not let him air his views.
That's right. That's right.
This was a man who is a very clear-thinking individual,
yes,
who has the facts on his side,
yes,
who speaks in a logical fashion and makes a logical argument,
right,
and with a great intellect, and he would destroy other people.
Yes.
That's too risky. And with and the problem is we have boiled ourselves down to a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
So that anybody in a third party gets locked out. The only one that had a chance was Ross Perot because he had enough money to bankroll himself,
right,
yes,
as a third party, and he actually stood a chance of winning before he withdrew.
Sure.
Then the following year, the following election cycle, because his Ross Perot's Reform Party it gathered more than 25% of the vote.
I recall, yes.
They got matching funds from the government.
Yes.
Pat Buchanan won that party's nomination and had the money then from the government-backed money to go ahead and actually have a serious run at it. He was locked out of the debates.
All right. Now,
So we're controlled by Democrats and Republicans.
Okay.
Now, neither one of those parties, they have too much to risk where one of their candidates falters in the debate and it's devastating and that party loses everything. So because both parties have so much to lose, nowadays they have to play it safe. And so somebody might have won the debate a little bit more than the other person, but nobody suffers a devastating defeat at the debate, which is going to then alter the outcome of the election.
Yeah, Bob, what you're giving us is an American concept. In a debate, there's a winner and a loser.
Yes.
In every contest, there is someone that wins the contest and someone that forfeits their right to be called the winner, and they lose. They lose face, they lose place, they lose the contest. One loses, one wins. This is the American way.
Not anymore.
It was.
I'm sorry to say.
It was the American way.
It was the American way. As little kids, little league, baseball, little league, soccer, you are taught to play the game, and whatever the outcome of the game, everybody's a winner.
Everybody's a winner.
No.
Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a trophy.
Right, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets congratulated for a great job.
No, I'm not. I am not going there with you guys. I'm not going to go there. I know. That's what they're telling.
They rarely keep score games now.
Somebody wins and somebody loses, and there's a reason for the game being lost. You struck out. You said something. You implied something that was a lie. People think logically. The whole world is run on that
system. But you don't strike out. You play t-ball. You put the ball on a tee and everybody gets a hit.
Yes.
It was too
devastating for the poor five-year-old's mind to swing and miss a ball. And so to help him with his self-esteem, they put the ball on a tee so that everybody can get a hit.
You know what?
And only once you get better hand-eye coordination and you're able to contact the ball, then you can start to have a pitcher.
It is no wonder that our young people are so devastated, and it is no wonder also, gentlemen, that as you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, that we see a serious, serious problem here. Peter writes, and he says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." Now, Peter was talking about a lot of people following the false teacher, okay, and that would be like following a false politician. That false president flew out of Long Beach today.
Mm-hmm.
And that false politician was talking to the news yesterday saying that he is responsible for what happened at AIG. He had a smirk on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't crying. He wasn't sad. He wasn't demanding that the money is given back. As the chief of state in the country, he could have. And then the citizens of Anaheim were just sitting there. A few of them tried to say something, but they were muffled.
Mm-hmm.
They were silenced. And that's why I put the secondary clip up on my website of this ancient person saying, If we're Americans, that's how America was. Wait, is. It is with me because that's the America that I'm living in. Right. I don't understand this. Seriously, I don't understand this new kind of America because somebody has to say that's wrong.
It's mostly obviously it's the parents that uphold this thing because the parents think that their children, their self-esteem would be devastated if their little five-year-old couldn't handle.
They're already brainwashed. There's a winner and a loser. What are they talking about?
The parents are the ones that are brainwashed because they won't allow, you know, true occurrences to happen to their kids. They don't want failure. They don't want them to get hurt. They use all kind of soap to keep them from washing their hands because they're too clean.
It just
came back.
Bob
can say this. Everybody's too clean. You're getting new diseases because antibacterial soap keeps us so clean you can't get dirty the way
right.
You
have normal bacteria that resides on your skin that protects you from other more harmful bacteria. Now everybody's using antibacterial soaps. You've got antibacterial wipes so that you can wipe down the handle of the shopping cart when you go into the shopping store.
You've got
antibacterial soap dispensers on every hallway of anywhere you go anymore. And you're destroying the normal flora which protects you. And so
we're too clean, and they don't want the kids to go through any trauma. They have to take care of their kids
My mind just experienced a mental illustration of what you guys
Are talking about. I remember there's a comedian that talks about antibacterial soaps, and everybody's so afraid for their kids. He said, my mom's antibacterial soap was she spit on a Kleenex and wiped my face off.
That's how I got clean. That's how I got clean
That's
as
how
a
my
kid.
Daddy cleaned my face.
Yeah. I don't know whether that was.
He licked his lips and got rid of my chapped lips.
Hey, remember that song that the black singer sung, Grandma's Hands?
Yeah,
Grandma's Hands was full of spit.
All right.
I'm thinking about this illustration. It was the day of the winning of the O.J. Simpson trial when the attorney for Simpson said yes, and the other attorney was having a news conference with the DAs, and he bent over, and they had to take him out of the room, remember? Because he lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I screamed at my television.
Chris Darden?
Chris Darden. Mm-hmm. And I said, what in the heck is wrong with you acting like that because you lost?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wins and somebody loses, and here I see a grown man acting like a child bent over in literal pain.
Yeah.
Because he lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was the sickest scene I've ever seen in my life. If I lose, I said, Mark, you were there when I lost at the vet. Did I do that?
No.
No. I just took the keys off and said, hey, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way a man responds. Man, when you're a man, you know how to respond when the end has come for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't bend over and cry and bellyache. So you're saying that there is a no debate mentality in this country now.
And here is a perfect example.
Okay, come on.
Okay. The Bible teaches us, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend.
That's
Proverbs 27, 17.
Okay.
New American Standard says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Yes.
This is what happens in debate.
Yes.
Okay? This is, in the political process, what happens is, again, you go with your argument, somebody else goes with their argument.
Yes.
Before the city council.
Yes.
And you lose.
Yes.
Okay? If you're not satisfied with that, what do? You go out and you recruit more people to your view, and you come back and you go at it again.
Yes.
Try to get your point across. Try to get your agenda fulfilled.
Yes.
Get more people behind you. Convince them with a convincing argument. And that's how you do it. So this debate, this sharpening, this is iron versus iron.
Yes.
This is a sword fight.
Yes.
Okay. This is fencing.
Yes.
Okay. That's the terminology here. So this is how one gets better.
Yes.
You come back to the next debate and you say, no, I'm not letting that happen to me again. I have a better argument. I'm going to come back again, and I am now stronger because of the last debate made me stronger and better and more sharp, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take the day next time. Now, just as our society has eliminated such discourse, I'm going to take you to the Living Bible, because the Living Bible takes that same scripture—
Okay.
And this is what the Living Bible says. A friendly discussion is as stimulating as the sparks that fly when iron strikes iron.
You know what?
That
you need to stop.
Well, I'm sorry. This is how our society has gone. This is how our church has gone. Because this is what Rick Warren's preaching out of. This is what all those other false preachers are preaching out of, is the Living Bible or the Eugene Peterson Message Bible whatever kind of Bible that now softens and changes the Word of God, turns it around to actually make it the opposite of what it used to be.
And that must be the reason why, Bob and Mark, that most people in the church are impotent when it comes to confrontation on the level that one person has to be decimated.
And that is why,
all right,
when you come with a point,
yes,
and a logical argument, you are now called argumentative.
Yes.
That's an evil word.
Oh, yes. My gosh. Go ahead.
I one time on a radio program, when I was giving the Word of God,
yes,
then the person who had called in to a debate against my view said, "That's a very authoritative statement."
Well, of course it
is. Again, that's a very... She,